Movement Impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the AARP as well as the UC Berkeley Health Letter. And I'm going to start off with a really fun and wonderfully active article on daily exercise that you can do in 10 minutes for better balance. Cut your risk of falls with these simple stability moves. Just like strength, balance declines with age. And with a loss of balance comes an increased risk of injury and loss of mobility. But strength and balance training can improve your ability to stay centered and stable on your feet. There's a huge relationship between balance and strength, says Mary Helen Bowers, founder of New York City-based Ballet Beautiful, and a professional ballerina who offers balance, strength, and flexibility training. Bowers recommends 4 exercises you can do in less than 10 minutes a day. Do them 3 to 4 times a week for a few weeks, and you'll notice a difference, she says. Toe tap. Stand with one hand on a wall for stability. Keeping both legs straight, lift one leg and stretch it in front of you until it's at a 45-degree angle to your body, toes pointed. Hey, why don't you do this with me right now? Now, touch your toes to the ground. Hold a moment and return to the starting position. Do 2 sets of 8 reps with each leg. That's pretty easy. That sounds good. Okay. Next one. Knee bends with heel raises. Stand with one hand on a wall for stability, your other arm at your side. Keeping your feet together and torso straight, bend your knees. Next, lift your heels off the floor as you straighten your legs and raise your free arm above your head. Hold for a moment. Perform 2 sets of 8 reps. All right, so lift your heels off the floor as you straighten your legs and raise your free arm above your head. Toes up. Lie on your back, hands under your hips, and lift your legs straight in the air. Now pull in with your stomach to raise your hips slightly off the mat. Point your toes. Hold for 2 counts, then keeping your legs perpendicular to you, lower your hips back to the mat. Do 2 to 4 sets of 8 reps. Okay, again, so lie on your back, hands on your hips, and lift your legs straight in the air. Pull in with your stomach to raise your hips slightly off the mat. Point your toes. Hold for 2 counts. Then keeping your legs perpendicular to you, lower your hips back to the mat. Oh, that sounds like a good stretch. And finally, arabesque. Get on your hands and knees. Use a pillow under your knees if you wish. Pull in your abdomen and lift your right leg straight back, keeping your abdomen tight with your knee straight and toes pointed. Don't arch your back. Hold for a moment, then lower and repeat with your left leg. All right, get on your hands and knees, pull in your abdomen, lift your left leg straight back, keeping your abdomen tight with your knee straight and toes pointed. Don't arch your back, hold for a moment, then lower and repeat your left leg. Ooh, that sounds like really good stretching as well as wonderful for your stability. All right, so my next article is from the Health After 50, which is put out by UC Berkeley, and it is actually the University of Berkeley, yeah, Health After 50 newsletter. This is an article about dreaming. So, 6 questions about dreaming. Adults dream for about 2 hours a night on average. That's 1/12 of their lives. adding up to more than 6 years of dreaming during an 80-year life. World literature is filled with dreams. Dreams play an outsized role in Shakespeare's plays, above all, from Hamlet and Macbeth to The Tempest and A Midsummer Night's Dream. In Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Scrooge tells himself that Marley's ghost, surely a dream or apparition in a dream, might simply be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard. And it's true that indigestion and other physical problems can cause strange dreams. Biblical patriarchs were dreamers on a cosmic scale. Jacob dreamed of a ladder leading up to heaven. Joseph got a job interpreting dreams for Pharaoh. Indeed, explaining dreams has, over the centuries, been a good way to earn a living. In some societies, shamans use dreams to diagnose illness, expose adultery, predict pregnancy and the weather, or locate game. Under the influence of Sigmund Freud's psychoanalytic theories, dreams passed into the domain of the psychiatrist, and many people undergoing analysis spend their 50 minutes unraveling their dreams. Therapists today are less likely to do dream analysis, often employing shorter-term therapies and antidepressants instead. Dreams may seem to have little or nothing to do with physical health, but they are an integral part of sleep and thus are essential to life. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, as Prospero in The Tempest says. Yet dreaming remains largely a mystery. That said, we'll try to answer some questions. Do dreams disrupt sleep? No. Dreams are a key part of restorative sleep. As discussed earlier, sleep has four phases, which we cycle through usually four or five times a night. REM, or rapid eye movement, plus three non-REM stages. Most dreaming goes on during the REM stages, or REM. When the eyes move under the lids, dreaming may not seem particularly restful, however, especially if you have nightmares and they occur just before waking. Does everyone dream? Except for people with certain brain abnormalities, everyone has REM sleep, during which dreams occur. Of course, people who don't remember their dreams may think they don't dream, but they almost certainly do. This was the conclusion of a French study in the Journal of Sleep Research a few years ago, which found that when people who claimed they never dreamed were monitored during sleep, their movements and other behavior strongly indicated they were indeed dreaming during REM sleep. Does dreaming serve specific purposes? Humans have long wondered why we dream and whether it serves a purpose, perhaps as a way for us to communicate with the gods, predict the future, or represent our repressed feelings. There are scores of theories. Modern dream research began with Freud, who thought dreams represented unfulfilled wishes rooted in unresolved childhood traumas that had been repressed. Carl Jung, another famous dream theorist, thought a dream was the small hidden door in the deepest and most intimate sanctum of the soul. The truth is that nobody knows for sure why we dream or whether dreams are of any use, but many functions have been proposed. For instance, studies have found that REM sleep, the dreaming stage, in particular, helps people consolidate and reorganize memories so that they can perform cognitive activities better. Other studies suggest that REM sleep may mitigate the intensity of stressful experiences, in part by reducing norepinephrine, a stress-related hormone. This was seen in a study in the Journal of Neuroscience, in which students learned to associate an image with a mild electric shock. Brain scans showed that those who spent more time in REM sleep prior to the experiment had reduced brain activity in response to this learned fear. The researchers suggested this may be due to the effect of REM sleep on norepinephrine. How can you better remember your dreams? Some people remember their dreams regularly without effort, but most of us forget them quickly, or seldom remember them at all unless we are awakened in the middle of one. The brain processes that store memories are largely suppressed during sleep. You're more likely to recall dreams that are more coherent, as well as those that are very vivid and cause great arousal. Therapists who want their patients to discuss their dreams may suggest various strategies to increase the chances of recalling them. For instance, remind yourself as you fall asleep that you want to remember your dreams, and keep a notebook or digital device by your bed so you can record them whenever you wake up. It may also help to record the day's events before you fall asleep. When you wake up in the morning, try to do so gradually, in a relaxed manner, and try to hold on to your memories of your dreams, rather than jumping out of bed and getting immediately distracted. Keep in mind that when people recall and relate dreams, they inevitably shape them, tending to make them more sensible and rational by piecing snippets together and filling in gaps. There's no way to capture a dream while it happens. What is a nightmare? Typically, nightmares have been seen as dreams that are frightening, like being chased by a monster, and wake people up. Today, nightmares are usually defined as intensely disturbing rather than just very scary dreams. It's estimated that up to one-third of adults have at least one nightmare a month, while up to 6% say they experience nightmares every week. In a study in the journal Sleep, researchers analyzed the dreams of almost 600 people and found that it wasn't fear that made nightmares so emotionally charged, but rather feelings of guilt, disgust, or sadness. Nightmares also often involve death, feeling threatened, or health concerns. And finally, do medications affect dreaming? Yes. People taking certain medications may experience more vivid and intense dreams, typically in the form of nightmares. Some beta blockers used for hypertension commonly do this. But the list is lengthy and also includes some antidepressants, corticosteroids at higher doses, levodopa for Parkinson's disease, and mefloquine used to prevent or treat malaria. Some people may experience increased nightmares when they stop taking certain drugs, including benzodiazepines, barbiturates, and, again, certain antidepressants, especially if this is done abruptly or if the dose is reduced too quickly. In many cases, the drugs affect brain chemicals that influence REM sleep. And again, this is from the University of California, Berkeley Health After 50 newsletter. Well, speaking of dreams, you might have had a dream to start a business. Well, our next article is entitled, and this is from the AARP, More Adults Over 50 starting their own businesses. Adults age 50 and older are starting new businesses at a rate that's been growing for more than 20 years and accelerating since 2008. Many of these new entrepreneurs are using skills developed during careers to start successful businesses, all while enjoying the experiences that come with working for themselves. In 1996, the 55 to 64 age group represented 14% of all new enterprises, says Susan Weinstock, Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming at AARP, citing a study from the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation, released in September. In 2018, it was 25.8%. Wow, up from 14% in 1996. People are living longer, healthier lives, Weinstock says. A lot of us get to our senior years and we see no reason to retire if we don't want to. Starting their own businesses or business is one way older workers can apply their experience in new, fulfilling ways. Some of them have been pushed into entrepreneurship by job loss or other necessities. Roughly 6% of the 2,700 current and aspiring business owners who responded to a survey from Guidant Financial and Lending Club this year. But the rest made the jump into entrepreneurship voluntarily. Among men, the most common reason is the desire to be one's own boss. Among women, it's the desire to follow a long-held passion. Other common reasons include a golden opportunity, a desire not to retire, and dissatisfaction with the corporate world. Thomas Mock, chair of the Asheville, North Carolina chapter of SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, a national nonprofit organization that pairs experienced business leaders with entrepreneurs who are just getting their start, says he sees a lot of people who, quote, want to do something other than retiring, end quote. One of his clients, a retired physician from Florida, started a business making toys for dogs. She wanted to help local animal shelters and make a little money on the side, Mock says. This is a real dog-friendly community and a good opportunity for her. Mock also sees many entrepreneurs who are launching their own consulting businesses, like the client who came to Asheville and started a coaching service to teach people to manage their businesses better. Consultant businesses can be convenient to start because they let you set your own hours, and they're portable if you, like many older adults, move a couple of times yearly. Where business is sunny. In fact, research suggests that the migration destinations that are popular with people 50 and older are, not surprisingly, also the busiest regions for startups among the demographic. According to the Financial Guidant and Lending Club study, the big three sunshine states, Florida, Texas, and California, are, pun intended, the hottest such regions for people age 50 and older to launch businesses. But New Jersey and New York are not far behind. The three top sectors older entrepreneurs go into are business services, food and restaurant, and health, beauty, fitness, followed by general retail and automotive. No matter where they choose to start their businesses, entrepreneurs 50 and older have a lifetime of experience they can leverage to get started. You see, older workers taking one skill from their old jobs and making it a whole business, Weinstock says. Let's say a part of your old job was meeting facilitation. Well, now, that can be your entire job. Nina Horowitz-Greberman, 56, is CEO of her own social media strategy group in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. She says, yes, 100%, I do that every day. I based the business on the skills I used in my old jobs. Don Lafferty, 59, is CEO and co-founder of Comfort Media in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. His is a niche boutique that helps heating and air conditioning manufacturers improve their digital outreach strategies. He was once a sales executive, a good one, but he was good at something else too, writing, a skill, as he says, I always had. In 2005, he wrote an article about using the then-popular platform MySpace for business. Before I knew it, all these businesses were after me to help them design digital strategies on MySpace, he says. Not too much later, he was co-founding Comfort Media. Or you could make your fantasy your business, like Valerie Valente, 57, who opened the Journey Inn Bed and Breakfast in Hyde Park, New York, when she was 51, after a long career as a publishing executive. I've had this yen my entire life, she says. I'm an early riser, and cooking is my passion, along with serving customers. She liked publishing, but, as she says, to be candid, I liked being the boss and hated being the employee. So, when the publishing industry started to shrink, I saw the handwriting on the wall. Something just said, it's time. Challenges and opportunities. To be sure, there are difficulties, the same ones entrepreneurs in all age groups report. Getting started, funding, the sudden lack of a support system. When you work in corporate America, Mock says, you have an infrastructure and maybe a sales force behind you. When you leave, suddenly you don't have that anymore. And ageism is a reality, Weinstock says, that can hurt people's confidence starting out. Jill Scherer, Murray, 56, knows how that feels. She is founder of Let Go For It, LLC, in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. She began the company after 25 years in the corporate world. Her future began with her 2016 TEDx talk titled The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go, with more than 1.7 million views so far. That led to a website, a business, and a book coming out in 2020. She advises companies and individuals on identifying impediments to forward growth, to let go of whatever it is, in her words, for a better life and better results. Yet even Murray has had her moments of doubt. At 54, you ask yourself, if this doesn't work, will I be able to get something as good? She overcame that hesitancy, she says, by accepting that this was what I really, most deeply wanted to do. Something more meaningful. These businesses, started by older adults, tend to last longer, says Mock, because these seniors are now doing what they want to do. They're also generally having a ball. Fully 75% of all respondents in the Guidant Financial Lending Club survey reported an 8 to 10 satisfaction level on a scale of 10. That's on a business level, but even more on the personal level. It's been everything I hoped for, says Valente, the bed and breakfast owner. We get to know our customers who keep coming back. We've gotten to know the business community here, and we enjoy feeling a part of the wider community. Oh my God, I just love it, says Horowitz-Greberman. First, it gets me out of the house and keeps me busy. Even more, I love dealing with locals. I get to know people. I enjoy them. I like people looking me in the eye and talking to me. It has all been very personally rewarding, Murray says. I hear from people in India, Finland, Brazil, and the feedback has been amazing. A self-started business, Lafferty says, is designed to be rewarding. If it wasn't, you wouldn't do it. Being in the 50s is such an interesting time, Murray says. If you get to this age, you're open to the surprises of life. With this new direction, I'm learning so much that's new. I had a burning desire to serve, and I'm doing it. I have a new sense of urgency. And starting a new business might be pretty energy consuming. And my next and very last article, and it's a short one, 5 reasons you might have fewer friends. Between kids, smartphones, and other responsibilities, today's 55 to 64-year-olds mix and mingle less. 1, you're looking after mom and dad. Providing or arranging care for aging parents decreases the time available for socializing. 2, you haven't retired. Even well into their 60s, workers are more likely to stay on the job longer than was customary with earlier generations. Still, non-retirees are apt to have fewer same-generation peers at work than they've had in the past. 3, your children are living with you again. Millennial boomerang kids may consume resources, finances, and time. 4, you're always on your phone. Social technology is replacing some of the ways people used to engage face-to-face. And finally, you've uprooted. Older generations tended to live out their lives in the same town. Research suggests, though, that boomers may be more mobile. Sim's top tip to buck the social retrenchment trend? Volunteer. Why? Bonds are best made between people who regularly do meaningful activities together. Well, and with that, we have ended our program for today. Pretty interesting articles. Anyway, I hope that you have enjoyed it. This is Anna Kogal, and we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I am Anna Kogal, and I am reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. Oh, next time is going to be right before Valentine's Day. Okay, so long until next time. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Make it a great week and keep dancing or doing your stability exercises. Enjoy yourself. See you next Wednesday.